Well, yesterday I broke down the fighting that's going on in America and how it's happening and how we have just different views. And, you know, we're all right and wrong about stuff. I'm right and wrong about stuff. Of course, I don't know what I'm wrong about, or I wouldn't continue to be wrong, but I'm sure I am. But one thing I know is we need to be listening. I'm never going to find out why I'm wrong if I don't listen. You're wrong about something. And the best thing is to listen. And right now it's like nobody wants to listen at all. You know, this basic relationship stuff, you know, you can only achieve in a relationship what the other person is willing to achieve with you. If you're the only one willing, other people aren't, and we can't make this work. Or if other people are willing and you aren't willing to make it work, it's not going to work. You know, it's like everybody's decided that they want to fight. Everybody's decided that they want to fight. And the only thing that's going to pull us out of it is a revival. And I think, you know, this is something that happens in the book of Judges, and then in the Bible, and then in the stories of the kings after Solomon. You know, that Israel would have problems, and then they'd all of a sudden decide to behave themselves and be good, and the problems would go away. And then they'd stop being good, and they'd start fighting with each other, and problems would come. And all of a sudden they decide they want to be good, and then the problems go away. And we're looking at something similar. Now, you know, about that, you know, there's these people that say, well, the Bible says if my people will repent and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. Okay. So that means God's going to heal America if we pray. And then other people come along and say, no, that's only for Israel. That was a promise he made Israel. That had nothing to do with America. You pray, it makes zero difference. None at all. That was only Israel, and we learned nothing from it. Don't even read that part of the Bible. Well, no, they don't say it all that way. They just talk so that you end up believing that. Of course, that's one of the secrets of being sneaky in preaching, a sneaky preaching. They don't say it, but they talk in a way so that you believe some dark, dank, disgusting, horrible idea and get all depressed. That's why so many Christians get depressed or act weird or have trouble around other people. It's not what the preachers say. It's what the preacher's preaching leads people to believe. And we got to have critical thinking. We got to know how to do our theology and not just believe everything that we're told, and know how to study the Bible on our own. It's not enough to just be able to read the Bible on your own. You got to understand it on your own. And everything's all about being dependent on Sunday morning. Well, guess what? With this virus thing, people are having to take initiative. You can't just have a weekly schedule, go to the same Sunday building every week, and then your life is a little bit better. No. You got to be in charge now. There are some benefits that come and make people a little bit better by going to church every week. They make people a little bit better. I think that's statistically proven. But all of a sudden, people can't get those benefits out of sheer habit. They have to take initiative and think on their own. And that's what led us here in America. We're not thinking on our own. And the only thing that's going to lead us out of this is if God comes in because we asked him. The God of justice, the God of mercy, the God of healing. You know, justice and mercy, they go together. Like that, you can't, I mean, they are different, but they're like colors of the rainbow. It's like they got to all be together. It's not a rainbow. You know, there's the cyan color of the rainbow, and then there's the indigo color of the rainbow, and then there's the red, and then there's the orange. You got different colors, and they go together. And it's like goodness and happiness are like colors of a rainbow, and mercy is one stripe, and justice is another. Justice means giving what's fair. Sometimes that's punishment. Sometimes that means not making trouble for people. It means not hurting people. Mercy means when people deserve to be punished for something bad, but we don't punish them as much. Those are not incompatible. Mercy doesn't mean you let everybody off the hook, and justice doesn't mean you beat everybody up. But you wouldn't know that if you haven't been carefully thinking about stuff. If you haven't been living your life every day saying, how can I give justice and mercy to other people? How can I be fair? I mean, justice is really about treating everyone and everything as if it's equal. Not if it's the same, But if they're is equal in value, the same standard for everybody else, basically in the Old Testament, justice or a righteous person, a fair person, same term, a righteous person, a fair person, same meaning. That's what it means. It's simply someone that doesn't carry two rulers in his bag, one that's centimeters and he calls it inches, and one that's inches and calls it centimeters. Say, oh, well, you know, if he's measuring his own stuff, he'll use this stick so he gets more. If he's measuring other people's stuff, he uses the smaller one, and then, you know, so he rips people off that way. And a weight, the same. A bigger weight when he's measuring his own stuff he gets, a smaller weight when he's measuring what he's going to give to somebody else. And he says that they're the same. No. He doesn't carry two weights and two measures in his bag. He carries one measure and one weight in his bag. It's one thing government's supposed to do is standardize weights and measures to define what a pound is or what a kilogram is, so that it's the same for everybody. That's what justice is all about. And we have to look at our ways and our conduct and ask ourselves, what is justice? And then when someone does something wrong, well, if we punish them as much as we can excuse and justify, we'll eventually come back to hurt ourselves. So we've got to show mercy to people that don't give justice. We have to encourage them to get back on the right path. If we punish them utterly, we'll be in bigger trouble. So we have to, you know, restore and be gentle and patient with people. Sometimes we're going to need patience. Even laws have to have, you know, flexibility so that, you know, what if the law is wrong? You don't want to enforce a law that's wrong. You know, we don't know what laws should be. We made those ourselves. We're human, so our laws are going to be bad and have to change. You don't want to, you want to have mercy when you're enforcing the law because of this. And we haven't been careful with all this. We've just been doing what we're told, and we haven't been thinking independently. And that's led us to fighting. When we go through life brainwashed, programmed, responding as if hypnotized, then when something doesn't fit into our programming, our brainwashed, pre-programmed, hypnotized programming or whatever, it doesn't have to be brainwashed, but when something doesn't fit into how to our routine of thinking, our automatic, no, this is right, no, that's wrong, super simple thinking, we get angry and start beating people and start yelling at people. And that's not going to lead to a happy country. We are only going to get out of this if we invite the God who created justice and mercy to come in among us. It's the only way we're going to get out of this. And I don't know. I don't know how bad it's going to get before people start getting there. Me, myself, I try to do talks like this. I do Bible translations. I'm going to be reading more and more. I myself have been asking what my priorities need to be in my little business and writing and software and music world. I've been asking what I should be doing. This is interesting. This week I was talking with Royu and I was talking, you know, with his family, and, you know, quite a while back, I've been going on about the topic of depression. One of the things that we found this week, we were going through a lot of discussion, is that if we're just grateful, then we start feeling happier. You know, I did this. I sat down with Royu. And because we meet and we study Bible and we go over stuff. And I sat down with him and I said, now, listen, I have to tell you this because I don't talk about people's business. But Royu and his dad, they say, talk about Royu's business. Let it be an inspiration to people. So I'm not going to give personal information, but everyone goes through hard times and everyone's feeling down. That's a normal thing. And so this week, when I met up with Royu, I found some psychological research that being grateful is a way of overcoming depression. Now, if it can do that, it can certainly lift our spirits if we're just feeling down a little bit. So I said, before we start talking today, I want to make sure we're on a happy note. I want to list 20 things I'm grateful for that happened since I woke up today. And then you go, do you want me to go first? So we get the ideas, like, well, all right. He said, 20? I said, yes, there's actually 100,000 things that could be named that have happened since I woke up today. If I can't name 20, then I'm not seeing them. But if I can name 20, I'm starting to see them. And that's where we need to focus.